breath of the Father, wind of God's grace, fire in our hearts. On Pentecost, Lord, you descended upon your disciples. You filled their hearts with joy and propelled them out into the world to make disciples of all nations. Lord, we ask you, open our hearts and our minds, live, blow, and burn among us now in your holy word and in our lives. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
Scripture reading for today is the traditional reading for the day of Pentecost from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Hear now the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah, it's a little better. Okay. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So last week I was driving in the car with my 19-year-old daughter Olivia, and we were planning for today's Parsonage Open House, which in true 19-year-old spirit, Olivia is not here for. But she did some work. I was driving her to camp, and she was folding bright orange invitations that I put in the bulletins, and then she was inserting them into the bulletins. And as she was doing this, which she liked doing, she's restless, so she likes when her hands are busy. she said, "Hey, Mom, remember when you made us act out the story of the first Pentecost in worship?" "I remember it very well. Olivia was 6 or 7, and I was helping my church. Instead of dismissing the children for Sunday school, we had a big experiment to see what it was like to keep the kids in worship. So we were trying to do activities and involve the kids in worship. So instead of having somebody like Steve reading for us, we decided that on Pentecost, the kids would actually act it out." So I know that Vacation Bible School was a really big thing here, and a lot of you spent a lot of your time and effort and your hearts in that, and I know that you could probably remember every skit that was ever put on. So I remember this. I remember every word of this skit, but I was amazed that Olivia remembered it. Olivia, I was amazed because she was raised in the church, and she's a great public speaker, but that started, she was a very shy toddler, and she started as a public speaker because my pastor would hand her the microphone when we were doing prayer petitions, and she started liking the way her voice sounded. So I thought, okay, Livy, what do you remember from that? And she said, "I only remember one thing. We were the disciples, and we were lying around on the sanctuary steps. And then when it came time for the Holy Spirit to fill us up, you turned on a big fan like we have here today, and the Sunday school teacher popped marshmallows into our mouths." "Honestly," Olivia said, "I remember the marshmallows." So I could be sad because maybe all the kid-focused theology that we'd worked so hard on really just got reduced to sugar in worship. But then it hit me why we picked the marshmallows as I was preparing for this sermon. We picked the marshmallows for a very specific reason. I was trying to remember the first time that the Holy Spirit visited me, what did it feel like? So this was not a happy time. I was 6.5 or 7 years old, probably pretty close to Olivia's age, 40 years later, when she remembers eating the marshmallows in church. But my family had suffered a terrible tragedy, the death of my little brother. He was not quite 3, and he died in a car accident. I don't remember a lot. I do remember that my parents were terribly upset. It was the 1960s, and funerals were too sad for children, so my sister and I stayed home, and at home, our house was filled with people who didn't go to the service, so they must have been home preparing for the repast. Food and casseroles were everywhere, and I remember that all the grown-ups had gray, worn-down faces. They were bereft. And I remember being in my childhood kitchen. I remember the tangled wall phone cord. My mom says it was green. And I remember the wet-look kitchen wallpaper with aqua and lime green crazy flowers. And I remember a moment when something changed for me, not on the outside, but inside me. I remember an unequivocal feeling of joy, like a great wind filling up my little chest. It didn't come from what was happening around me. The mourners were terrible and sad, but it felt like a visit, an unprecedented wave of love and joy. It felt very strange. It was so unexplained that I thought to myself, oh, this must be what they're talking about in church when they talk about the Holy Spirit. Believe me, I needed something like the Holy Spirit to get me through those days and years when my parents were mourning, when everyone was mourning, when their world came apart, because that's what happens when you lose a child at any age. I needed our local church where people talked about Jesus, who rescued children and cared for parents who lost their children. Jesus always stopped when a parent was mourning. My whole family threw ourselves into church life. Even when I was pretty young, I would walk on my own to early mass and listen to sermons, and they helped me understand that it was okay to ask, why is it that terrible things happen to good, loving families? This is the time I thought back to when we were wondering how to teach children about Pentecost and the birthday of the church. How would these kids understand that at the first Pentecost, everyone felt that they had been visited by a great, wonderful wind that lifted them up out of the depths of their sadness, out of their mourning? The Holy Spirit is coming with a big sound of roaring motorcycles. Excellent. Wow. Spread, Holy Spirit. They must have felt like their sadness was totally and completely understood. And then somehow it was all washed away, maybe not forever, but for that moment, they were filled with joy. And they were filled with so much joy, it was overpowering, that they rushed into the streets to share their joy with strangers. How would we communicate that mysterious yet overwhelming feeling to children? I really wanted that because I wanted them to have it in a little bottle so that if they were ever in a terrible situation, if they ever found themselves enwrapped in a tragedy, if they look around and see nothing but grief and hopelessness, how will those children know to trust that inward visitor that speaks to the very core of their sadness? How will they know they can trust that completely unreasonable, irrational feeling that they are not alone? What sign of internal joy can we give them that will help them form the thoughts and words to know when the Holy Spirit does visit, when they most need it, when their rational minds least believe it? How will they know that it's okay to say, like I found myself saying, hey, maybe God's Holy Spirit is visiting me? Olivia will never forget those marshmallows. And I'm not saying that we should give everybody marshmallows, but I am saying that this is our job as Christ's church. We have to learn the languages out there in our hurting world. There are pilgrims all around us, spiritual but not religious people, people who have forgotten to go to church, people who never went to church, people who go to church, but they don't feel nourished or supported or connected like we do here in Reddington. I feel so connected here. They're going places, they're looking, they're pilgrims, and they're going places they hope to find salvation, just like in today's gospel. In Greek, Pentecost means 50th, five, pente, like Pentagon. Pentecost was the Greek name for the Jewish holy day, 50 days after Passover. In Hebrew, the word is Shavuot, the time that God gave the Torah. Jewish sages say that we are constantly receiving the Torah, but it was the giving. The giving happened once. So this is the giving day where Moses is given the Torah from Sinai. So on our first Pentecost, the gathered disciples of Jesus were already celebrating God's gift. They were celebrating the gift of the Torah in their lives. They might have done what my neighbors in Highland Park do the night before. They stay up all night and read the Torah, and then they come together in the morning and they pray in thanksgiving. And that's what they were doing. But they were unaware that there was a new gift. Something new was coming down the plank. There was a big bang of wind. Tongues of fire appeared over one another's heads. They could see each one illuminated by tongues of fire. And God's action was made visible, and they are propelled into the streets. The gift of mother's tongues turns the disciples outward toward people who are outside their group, outside Team Jesus, outside their movement. People who didn't know the pain and grief of the friends of Jesus, but people who had their own pain. The newly empowered disciples speak in 15 different languages. Not just any foreign languages, the Spirit empowers them to speak the languages of the devout Jews from every nation who have now gathered in Jerusalem for this feast. Over centuries, from all these places, Mesopotamia and Cappadocia, their Jewish communities had been dispersed by natural and unnatural crises, economic need, and also waves of destruction by many empires. Yet their faith is so strong that at least once a year they try to all migrate to Jerusalem to celebrate something together. At the first Pentecost, each hears their mother tongue spoken and acknowledged in a foreign place, maybe for the first time ever. The gift of the Holy Spirit that marks the birth of the church, then, is a gift that's expressly for people who are outside the Jesus movement. It's a gift for displaced people, people who waited and wandered because they felt strongly that they needed to find something more. I believe these people are all around us. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the power to connect to others who are longing for the same thing that we feel here. So let's not forget that this gift, given for the sake of others, often sounds kind of ridiculous, so that others sneer. In response, Peter claims that Pentecost is the fulfillment of the prophet's vision to pour out God's Spirit on all flesh, young and old, women and men, slave and free. All will prophesy. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit challenges religious norms of the day. It's not just the priests who've been designated in the temple. It's for everybody to prophesy. And that's crazy. And that's what's new. So God's gifts are for all God's people, not just for the elite, but for Galilean fishermen and community outsiders who can understand them through the miracle of tongues. So here's the question for us. What language do we here at Reddington Reformed need to speak in our missions when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? When we go outside, how will people outside our congregation hear their mother tongue, their personal language? How will we tell outsiders that God is fulfilling their hopes and dreams in this community? Because this community is strong. The Spirit's language speaks deeply into people's lives. Will she speak in emojis, in texting, in digital images, in the language of science, through visual art, maybe in music, in the sounds of 12-step recovery? And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us translate our personal experiences so that other people can understand us. And I think a really great opportunity is our 300th celebration, because we're going to welcome people from all over. And before that, on September 8th, we'll have a Village of Reddington picnic. And those are the chances where we get to translate our faith into God's love and God's Spirit and God's welcome. So I hope everybody will be involved, as everybody has been involved in every one of the amazing events that I've been with you. And let's remember that each week we meet God here. This is our cultural and our religious home. But to follow God, we have to cross into other cultures, because that's what Jesus did, and that's what the Holy Spirit compelled his disciples to do. And that's what the church is formed to do. We need to join with people who are different from us. We need to learn from each other and to grow more like Christ by learning from differences. Because the gift of Pentecost is a gift, and it's also a really big challenge. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for the gifts of real committed faith and a committed church family. This Pentecost, we ask you to push us out of our comfort zones. Lord, send us out wherever people are waiting and watching for your good news. Help us find one another in workplaces, doctors' offices, hospitals, at Wegmans, at Bishop's, at baseball games, feeding the hungry, as will happen this week, sheltering the homeless, marching in parades, organizing scouts, helping in classrooms. Holy Spirit, send us the power to translate our faith into their many languages and cultures, not for our glory, Lord, but for the glory of God, our Almighty Father. Amen.